So learning the sugyas of Chinuch and Talmud Torah, so there's really one sugya that appears at the very beginning of Masechta Sukkah, that much of the discussion about Chinuch. Much of the discussion about Chinuch revolves around. The sugya begins in Masechta Sukkah, the Beis and the Beis, and the first of the Marmakamos. And it first appears to be a sugya which is learned through Chinuch. It's a sugya that really is about a chasukha. But as we'll see as the sugya develops, it's going to become really critical for us. So the sugya begins in the first Siddur Mamakoma, Sukha Shilam Gavol Amal Me'asim Amma Psuva. We're familiar with this from the very first Mishnah, Masechta Sukkah. That if you have a sukha that's more than 20 amas tall, it's not acceptable. Why is that? I think there's a whole series of different reasons. Again, we're not learning a chasukha right now. But suffice to say that it's become some kind of a problem in terms of a chasukha. Such a sukha would not be acceptable. Rabbi Yehuda Machir Abayim V'chamishim Amma. Rabbi Yehuda says it's okay, it could be 40 amas tall, 50 amas tall, 1,000 amas tall, it does make a difference. According to Rabbi Yehuda, there is no maximum height to a sukkah. So comes Rabbi Yehuda and says, I'm going to prove that I'm right. I'm Rabbi Yehuda. Ma'isa behuni amalka balud, sha'isa sukasa gavoa me'eshim ama, ba'ezi kenim nechnasa v'yotzim l'shav l'omu l'adavar. The Rabbi Yehuda relates a story about Hilni Hamalka. Hilni Hamalka was one of the fascinating historical figures who appeared in the days of Chazal. And basically she was a queen, she was a Dioras, the whole story. The bottom line is that she was sitting in a sukkah together with her children, the Gemara is going to explain. And that sukkah was way above 20 amos. And the Chachamim came to visit her, and nobody said anything. Nobody corrected her and said that her sukkah was tzula. You see from here that mostly the sukkah was kshera. So Amalo, the Chacham responded back to Rabbi Yehuda, that's a raya. You're bringing me a proof of Hilni Hamalka. Isha is a p'tur min a sukkah. She was a woman. Everybody knows that a woman is p'tur from sukkah. It's a mitzvah saseh, k'sher zman grama. So maybe the reason why the Chacham didn't comment on her sukkah was because, it really was p'sula, but it didn't bother them that it was p'sula, because she was p'tur, she was exempt from the mitzvah sukkah. So Rabbi Yehuda responded and said, no, Amalahem, v'lo shiva b'nei habullah. But it wasn't just she was sitting in the sukkah. She was sitting in the sukkah with seven children. So then the Gemara goes into a little bit of a discussion about how old the children were exactly. The bottom line is, the Gemara concludes that if you take a look, two lines from the bottom of that Marmakom, the Gemara says, V'chitem u'katn shenotzach l'imo v'drabanu d'mechayev v'drabanu l'mashkecha t'oshma v'olka masel v'osa el apirachamim. Says the Gemara, obviously if she had seven sons, so she had at least some of them were gilachinuch already. So if some of them, most of them already gilachinuch, and she observed even dinim d'rabanan. Don't think that she was only makbid or dinim d'raisa, she was even makbid on the dinim of chinuch. So the bottom line is, Rabbi Yehuda wanted to bring a riot that the sukkah was kshera, and the Chum said it's not a good riot. So what does that have to do with us? Of course, this is the sugya of chinuch, particularly the woman's role in terms of chinuch. So you see from this Gemara, is that not only is a father obligated in chinuch, a mother is obligated in chinuch as well, because here we don't see have any mention of this Mr. Hilni Hamalka. We don't know who the king was exactly. We only hear about her. So apparently it was her together with her seven sons, and she was very mapped to make sure that the sukkah was kshera. And the Rabbi Yehuda is actually being a raya from her to a certain detail in terms of the sukkah. So
the fact that she did this, does that mean that
there's a chiyuv
for her?
The Gemara is being a raya that but the Gemara says that the Chum didn't criticize her, that the earlier Rabbanim who came to visit her didn't say that the sukkah was no good. Because if you hold that she was just doing something with Flim Ashur Sadin, so then there's no riot from the fact that the Chum didn't critique her. But from the fact that the Chum didn't correct her, that's a raya that the Chachamim took it very seriously what she was doing. That was considered to be absolutely obligate.
Okay.
So come to Tosas Yeshanim in the second of the Marmakamos in Masechus Yuma, that Beis of an Aleph. Sometimes in Yeshivas, when they mispronounce Tosas Yeshanim, they say the Tosas Yeshanim. Tosas Yeshanim means the Tosas was sleeping. Sometimes the Bachim are reading it as sleeping, but it's the Tosas Yeshanim. It's the older Tosas. These Bali Tosas are no older than the regular Tosas. They just call them Tosas Yeshanim because they couldn't think of anything else to call them. There were just certain Bali Tosas that were left out in the regular Tosas, so they threw them into the margin for good luck and certain Masechus. So Masechus Yuma, the Tosas Yeshanim comment on this story that Hilni Hamalka, that the comment of Tosas Yeshanim is taken into the context of everything we've been speaking about in the past. So remember in the previous sugyas we discussed who exactly is obligated in chinuch. So we made sure there was a big machlokes of Rishonim whether the din of chinuch applies only to the father or whether the din of chinuch applies to everybody. If I see a 12-year-old child being mechal Shabbos, am I obligated to step in and to prevent them from doing that? So some Rishonim said yes. And Rabbi Shem said, no, there is no such halacha. That chinuch is something which is only applies to the father. We suggested a svar a couple of weeks ago that perhaps it's related to the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, that a father is obligated to teach his children, teach his sons Torah. That's a din midaraisa. And then the Rabbanah, not only is the father obligated to teach them theoretical Torah, but he's obligated to do the mitzvahs with them. He's obligated to make sure they put on tzitzis, lulav, of sukkah, etc. But fundamentally, it's a chiyuv aval abayin. It's something that the father has to do on behalf of the son. If that's the case, then I understand that it wouldn't apply to anybody else. So if I see somebody else's child doing mechal shabbos, that's not my problem. So that was 2 days in Tosus. So comes Tosus Yeshorim and is assuming that that is the case. If you take a look at the second of the Armakomus at the bottom of the Tosus Yeshorim, three lines at the bottom, the middle of the line. For Rebbe Omer, that one of the Bali Tosus said the chinuch was shaykh al ba'av. The chinuch only applies to the father. But in no other individual has an obligation of chinuch. And therefore, if I see somebody doing an aveira, a child doing an aveira, if it's not my child, it's not my issue. So now, ask the Tosi Shalom themselves, if it's true that chinuch applies to everybody, then it applies to the mother also. The mother's no worse than a stranger. But if chinuch only applies to the father, that means it falls under that category of halachas, which are mitzvahs ha'aval abein. Generally speaking, the mitzvahs of Avla Bain do not apply to the mother. The mother does not have an obligation to have a bris milah for the son. The mother does not have an obligation to do pidra ben for the son. The mother technically does not have an obligation to teach Torah to the son. So that's the case, that chinuch is patterned after all the mitzvahs of Avla Bain. So then why do we find the Holy Amakov so careful about chinuch? The Tosus Yeshanim suggests that Shema Havalem Av. So says the Tosi Shalom, maybe there was a father there. And you assume there's no father because he's not mentioned? He was there. He wasn't such a major player in the sugya, so they didn't bother mentioning it. But in Echinami, if it wouldn't have been for the existence of the father, then we wouldn't, Hillel and Amakov wouldn't have taken this whole chinuch story so seriously, and the whole sugya in Sukkah would have unraveled. That's Tosi's first suggestion. Then Tosi Shalom backtracks and says, maybe not. Maybe that there was no father there. Like was suggested over here, that maybe Hilmi and Malka was actually not obligated in chinuch, but Alpha B'chein, she was doing it, it's just a voluntary, it's a mitzvah b'yama. That's what all the Acharonim jump at the Tosi Yishonim and say, how could the Tosi Yishonim say that? The Gemara is bringing a proof in Halacha, like I said to you, the Gemara is bringing a proof in Ucha Sukha, whether the Sukha was Ksheira or not. The Gemara is assuming there was a real Halacha that was taking place here. This was just Amidus Chasidus, some people were going above and beyond the call of duty. The Gemara is assuming clearly this was a real Halacha. So the end of the Tosi Yishonim is really a pella. The Achronim point out that today others ask kashas that it doesn't seem to fit into the sugi itself. What seems to be perhaps the more correct answer, the more understandable for us answer, the first answer to the Tosi Yishonim, that there must have been a father there. If there was no father there, then the whole story doesn't really make any sense. So Kopanim, we have two approaches in the Rishonim. So what the nature
between no obligation to be in a wrong way. I mean, she stepped behind her boundaries. She wasn't required to do that. But she let him feel that they keep the mitzvah of Sukkah in an inappropriate way. And that may inherently cause a problem for the learning to come.
But then it still might be hard to bring a riot from the Chachamim. The Chachamim walked in and they say, imagine if you'd walk into a sukkah and you see the sukkah's puzzle, but nobody's really chayav in the sukkah. You see Ketanim and Nashim sitting in the sukkah. Would you make a fuss about that? I don't even make a big fuss about it.
But you have to say something.
I remember when I was a kid, so we used to have a sukkah in our apartment building. It was a lot of families together, so it was downstairs in the parking lot. So unfortunately what happened over the years, where the trees started to grow onto the side. So they decided they put up a big sign on one of the sides. One of the sukkah was kosher anyway. There were three walls of the sukkah. So that one side was potentially problematic. So they put up a sign that said that this side of the sukkah, this years ago, should only be sitting in by people who are part of the mitzvah sukkah. We'll leave out the details of what it actually said on the sign. This was 35 years ago, whatever. So only those who were part of the should sit in this corner of the sukkah. Then the problem was, as the tree got bigger and bigger, so the sign got bigger and bigger. And by the time after 5 years, there was no sukkah left. So then they had to move the sukkah. You know, cut down the tree, move the sukkah. You had to do something about it. So that's basically what the Gemara is saying here also. That we'd say that there would have been mamish pturim if she wouldn't have been chayavah. So there would have been no chiyav and chinuch. And he wouldn't have been chayav. Nobody would have been chayav. So the chabad would have just walked in, wished they could jump and moved on. So for the fact that the Gemara is being a whole raya from the fact that the chabad didn't respond, that seems indicated there's some real obligation that was taking place here. So the chabad that tells you, Shonim is zichu is different.
Between father to God, to give a lemon,
Oh, we're going to get to that. We're going to get to 11. It's going to be the end of the surah, the end of the shiur.
In terms of what the other people are saying, we're
going to
come to the other
shiur. Machayim and Ramon
over there.
Yes, so we spoke about this in the past. There's a machlekes and Rishon. Who exactly is obligated in chinuch? Is it just the father's chinuch, or is it everybody's chinuch? So our tzad, if you assume that it's only the father's chinuch, then it's probably not the mother's chinuch. It's a mitzvah of labein. So that's what makes the Hilmi Amalpa story difficult. So again, the pasuk pshat in the Hilmi Amalpa story is that women are chayavos in chinuch, which leads us to believe that everybody's chayav in chinuch. Lav dafka my own children. It's not a mitzvah of labein. Whereas the Torah Tishan is trying to defend the other position as well. But there is another Gemara that seems to take a stand on this issue, and that's the Gemara Maseches Nazir in the third of the Mamakamas. So the Mishnah in Nazir, Daf Kaf Chesem and Dev, is talking about the following halacha: Ish Madir is bina bin Nazir, the Ein Ish Maderis is bina bin Nazir. There is a halacha that tells us that a father has the ability to declare that his son will become a Nazir. The son's under the age of Bar Mitzvah. A special halacha that a father can declare Nazirus for a son, something which is usually unheard of. Normally, you want to be a Nazir. You be Makama Nazirus upon yourself. Where do we ever hear such a din? That's a Mishnah in Masechet Nazir. It's a special halacha that a father can be Mavir, his son, to be a Nazir, but a woman, a mother, does not have that ability. So the Gemara says, Ish in of al ishalo, my time of where did this halacha come from? What kind of strange din is this? That only a father, not a mother? So Rabbi Yochanan Amar Halachi bin Nazir. So Rabbi Yochanan says that this is the halacha of Moshe Mesinai. So the Rishonim explained, this is the halacha of Moshe Mesinai. This whole application of Nazirus, that I can be makabel Nazirus to somebody else, this is not regular passion of Nazirus. This must be a special tradition of halacha of Moshe Mesinai. Shimshon was a little bit different. Shimshon, there was a Kabbalah Nazirus Ayyadeh the Malach. It was even different than this. So comes the Gemara and says that it must have been Halacha Moshe Mesinai, and the Halacha Moshe Mesinai must have had two parts to it, that a father has the ability to do this, and the mother does not have the ability. But says the Gemara, not everybody agreed to this interpretation of the Mishnah. Rabbi Yezib, Rabbi Chanina, Amar Reish Lakish, Ketelechan Chababitzvus. Reish Lakish says, no, there was no such Halacha Moshe Mesinai. The din is true, but for a totally different reason. It's based on Chinuch. It's not a real Nazirus. It's not the real McCoy Nazirus Deir Aisa. It's just that the halacha gives the opportunity if the father wants to train his kid to become a Nazir, so that would also be a fulfillment of Chinuch. So the father can do it. So yes, the Gemara, Ihachi Afilu Ishanami. So then why can't the mother do this? If you hold the Rabbi Yochanan, that the din of Madir is Beno Benazirus is a din Deir Aisa, it's halacha Moshe Mesinai. So that was the halacha Moshe Mesinai, that a father yes and a mother no. Talking as kashas on halacha Moshe Mesinai. But if you hold, like Reish Lakish, that this was not halacha Moshe Mesinai, it's only midrabanan, it's mishum chinuch, so why doesn't chinuch apply to the mother? So said the Gemara, Kesav, ish chayav l'chanuch b'nad b'mitzvahs, and ish chayav l'chanuch is b'nad. So the Gemara says black and white, that the din of chinuch only applies to the father to the son, it doesn't apply from the mother to the son. So this Gemara seems to be open and shut, that there's no din of chinuch from the mother. This seems to support those Rishonim who we didn't think were the Pashim Shah, the Sugi of Hilmi Amalfa. So here the Achronim say that it's not necessarily a Raya. This is Reish Lakish talking. Reish Lakish is shot in the Mishnah, that Nazirus is based on chinuch. Reish Lakish is pushed into the corner, and he has to say that there's no din of chinuch of mother for a son. Maybe that's exactly why Rabbi Yochanan disagreed. Maybe what prompted Rabbi Yochanan to say that's not the correct pshat in the Mishnah is davka because Rabbi Yochanan held that that's not a tenable pshat in the Mishnah. Because Reish Lakish's pshat is working with the assumption that there's no chinuch for a mother towards a son, which Rabbi Yochanan says is absolutely not true. So maybe the answer to our question is the chinuch for a mother on a son is not just a machlekes harishonim, it's not just 2 days and tells harishonim, it's a machlekes amarayim. Maybe that's good for the machlekes Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. And the throwback of that question, what that machlokes is really about, is what is chinuch all about? Is chinuch a chiyuv on the father? Is a mitzvah mutalas ala av? Or is chinuch primarily a mitzvah on the child? If chinuch is a mitzvah on the father, then it's only the father, not the mother, not the stranger, not the baby, nobody else, only the father. But if chinuch is a mitzvah on the child, that the child is chayav mishum chinuch, so then why shouldn't the mother be obligated to make sure our son is doing what he's supposed to be doing? Why shouldn't the Beis Din, why shouldn't the community be obligated to assist to make sure that everybody's doing what they're supposed to be doing? So a couple of them, we have a lot of Gemaras floating around which are saying something about the topic, but we don't have any really ironclad raya. We have a sugi about Hilmi Amalpa that sounds like the chinuch for a mother, but Tazi Shanim figured out a way out of that problem. And then we have a Gemara Nazir that sounds like there really is no chiyuv of chinuch for the mother, but Acharonim said we can get out of that Gemara also. They're saying that's only Reish Lakish, that's not Rabbi Yochanan. So we're back to square one. So we have any Gemaras that shed any real light on this topic. So there is another Gemara in the fourth that her mamakam was, which is a gemara in the beginning in Chandaf Pei Deis and Malaf and Erevin. I left the gemara out. I just put the Taisa in the mamakam was. But the line for the gemara that Taisa is commenting on is Katan Ben Sheish Yotze Be'erev Imo. There is a din called the Erev Tchumen. That in order for a person to travel on Shabbos, you're only permitted to travel 2,000 amos, but the 2,000 amos begin from wherever you are, what's called in Halacha Kenes Shvisa. Wherever you began Shabbos, that's your starting point. Then you have 2,000 amos in all directions. So where are you going to Shvisa exactly? So the Mishnah says it depends. If you're out in the middle of nowhere, you're in the middle of the forest somewhere, and exactly where you are, your place is your Kenes Shvisa, and then you start to draw 2,000 amos in all directions, you would be permitted to walk. What if you're not in the middle of nowhere? What if you're within a city? So then the entire city is considered to be an extension of you, and your 2,000 amos only begin to take off after you leave the city limits. That's why we're not that concerned with Tchumen, Bezmanazim. Most of the, we almost never have showers of Tchumen. Every once in a while you have to go up the mountains, you go, you're walking places where aren't there so many, not so much civilization, then you run into Tchumen. But if you're in a place where there are a lot of people, a lot of houses, so then halachically we're in big cities, and the cities don't end for a while till we end last houses at the city limits, and very often one city just leads into another city. So if that's the case, then that Tchumen become almost irrelevant for us. But in theory, there is a din. The old days, for sure, was very, very common. You had a lot of shadows in terms of Lukas Tchumen. I generally get all the Tchumen shadows.
To Manhattan,
no, what?
To walk from here to Manhattan.
May or may not be an issue, depending on how you draw your squares around different parts. It's quite probably, most probably not a problem, even to walk off the George Washington Bridge. There are many places who are making to walk off the George Washington Bridge. I usually get all the Tchumen showers 1 week of the year, usually in the big vacation week, like in the middle of August, when people are going away, so people are going to all kind of strange places, so they're in the middle of nowhere, so ghost places, Halavai, people are in the middle of Mavish nowhere. So that's when I usually get two kinds of showers. I get Erevin showers, because people want to start building Erevin in the backyards and porches, all kind of stuff with nothing. They're starting from scratch. And they get Tchumen showers because the middle of walking places in the middle of nowhere. But again, the din is there's halacha of Tchumen, and halacha tells us that if a person wants to walk more than 2,000 amos, you can do that, but you have to make an erev Tchumen. You have to, in a sense, redefine where your makom of kinyan shvisa is. So let's say if I'm physically right here, but I want to be able to walk 3,500 amos, so what I have to do is right before Shabbos, I take some food, and I put that food at the right before my tchum actually ends. I put it at 1,995 amos away, and that becomes my new makom shvisa. I come back and I daven kamo Shabbos here, but my new house is viewed as being 1,995 amos away, and then I'm allowed to walk 2,000 amos in all directions from that point. So I gain in the direction that I want to go, but I lose in the other direction, which is fine. I'm not interested in going the other direction. I want to be able to walk almost 4,000 amos to get here to Shia, to go to Shul, whatever it is. But there is a machlekes in the Gemara whether this kula, in a sense, of Erev Tchumen, you can only make one Erev Tchumen. You can't keep on making ongoing Erev Tchumen to walk to California. You can only make one Erev Tchumen per Shabbos. So there is a machlekes in the Gemara whether Erev Tchumen applies all the time, or whether Ein Ma'arvin Alo Dvar Mitzvah. But if this kula in halacha of redefining your house based on where you left a couple of pieces of bread, maybe we can only rely on that if you have to go visit someone in the hospital, you have to go to shul, you have to go to a shir, it's some kind of a makom mitzvah. So the Gemara says in Maseches Erevin that a little child who's under the age of 6, so he's covered by his mother's Erev. You don't have to make a separate Erev for him, because wherever he steps along, wherever his mother goes, he goes. So he's covered by her Erev. So comes, tells an Estakasha, how could we have an Erev that's going to be effective for a child? Alpha Gav the Eima Avin Eladvar Mitzvah. So asked, tells us, wait a second, we have a rule called Eima Avin Eladvar Mitzvah. So what great mitzvah is the child walking for? Bishlam and the mother, she's going to do Bikicholim, she's going to a Shia, she's going to a Dhamma, whatever she's going for. But what great mitzvah is the child doing? So Tosa says, let me come up, I'm Yetzi Kadva Erev Imo, the Eav Shalal Anicha, Bishim Dukacha Chareh. So Tosa says, you're right, the child Takha is not really going for any great mitzvah. But what do you want? The mother's got to go for our mitzvah. She leaves the child at home. So the child's nebuch has to step along. So therefore, the Chachamim made an exception to the rule. Normally, we don't let people go out of the tchum, even with an Erev, unless it's a Dvar Mitzvah. But for a little child from the age of 6, he's got to go nebuch with his mother. So we're going to make an exception to the rule, even though there's really no mitzvah involved.
When the child will be 11 and he himself wants to do a mitzvah?
Okay,
who can make the Erev? Okay. Well, I don't know.
Anyone can. I can make an Erev for you also.
Okay.
Okay. I don't know. Inami says Tosfos, Iran be cut the nami ke mitzvah l'chalcha. Tosa says, no, maybe there is a mitzvah here. What's the mitzvah? The mother is doing the mitzvah. The mother is being mechanech the child. That's also called a makom mitzvah. So come the achronim and say, wait a second, what exactly the 2 days in Tosas? So the second day in Tosas had no qualms and no problem saying, the mother's got a tremendous tzorech, she's got to take her kid outside the Erev, because she's got to rely on the Erev Tchum, and she's got to take him out of the Tchum, because it's a great mitzvah, the mitzvah of chinuch. How come the first day in Tosas didn't realize that? How come the first day in Tosas had to come up with a chiddush and say that there really is no mitzvah, but it's mutter anyway? So that appears to be the same issue. The same issue that's permeating all of our sugyas, is there really chinuch for the mother? When the mother says, I have to take my 5-year-old kid because I have to mechanech him to teach him how to daven. Who said you mechuv to do that? According to the simple reading of the Gemara Nazir, the mother doesn't have such a chiyuv. So that seems to be the exact two issues in Tosfos here as well. The same way that we still couldn't figure out what's the story of the Hilni Amalka business. Is Hilni Amalka really chayavas in chinuch? Or is the only reason why chinuch is mentioned is because there must have been a father there even though he's not mentioned in the sugya? What's going on with the sugya Nazir? Do we really say lemaskana that a mother does not have to be mechanech a child? Or do we say that was Rish Lakish speaking, but we hold that a mother does have to be? So that's mamish the 2 days in Tarzan Erevin. What is the din halacha l'maaseh? Is the mother obligated to be mechanech the child or not? So again, we bottom line, it seems to boil down to 2 days in Tarzan. Usually the later achronim usually assume that there is a chiyuv, that the mother does have some kind of a chiyuv of chinuch. That's the way we generally practice. The mother tries to help out the kids also take care of their doing their mitzvahs. But according to many Rishonim, the main primary mitzvah of chinuch is primarily on the father. There is another issue that comes up in terms of chinuch, leaving aside who is obligated to chinuch. There is another important issue of chinuch we touched on before, which also emanates from the sugi about Hilni Amalka, and that's the comment of the Ritva in the fifth of the Mamre Kamas. The Ritva has said a suk on that days and her days. Says the Ritva, when you're mechanech your children, so you have to do it right. You shouldn't be mechanech your children, like the example that was said, to take a lemon for dalaminim. You have to mechanech your children to do it properly. Now, what kind of chinuch is that? You're mechanech to do things incorrectly, so you're sending them the wrong message. So if the sukkah is not kshera for a gadol, then it's not acceptable for a chinuch, for a child as well. So that's the Ritva says. Otherwise, the whole sukkah doesn't make any sense. If the whole din of chinuch is just to make believe, just to get the kid into the spirit of doing mitzvahs, but it doesn't really matter whether the mitzvahs are done properly up here halacha, then how could there be any riyas from the Rabbi Yehuda story with the Hilni Amalka story? There's no riyas to anything. Maybe the sukkah was psula. The reason why nobody bothered correcting her is because nobody cared, because you could fulfill chinuch even with a possible sukkah. So you see from here that it's not true, that you have to be mechanech the children, you have to be mechanech them to do things properly. And then the Ritva brings a raya, if you skip down towards the bottom of the Ritva, so it's the third line, the end of the Ritva, Ugdol mizu amra sechat erevin, gabizman diyam kippurim, lutamil yanuka dum asana mitzrach. So, I'm sorry, he quotes the Gemara that we spoke about in the past. The Gemara Erevin says that we would have preferred to say Shechiyonu on Yom Kippur night in Shul ala Koshal Yayin. That's the way you usually say Shechiyonu. But you can't do it, because if we're going to make Shechiyonu on a Koshal Yayin, we're going to have to make a Baruch Yagothin. We obviously can't drink it on Yom Kippur. We'd have to give it to a child. So the Gemara says, that's poor chinuch. You're training the child to do things Shalai Kealocha. So you see from that Gemara that Chazal were concerned that chinuch shouldn't end up being a kilkul. It'll end up being mechanech a child incorrectly, so you're going to lead them to make mistakes when they turn by mitzvah. So that's what the Ritva says, what poor chinuch would be to be mechanech a child to sit in a posel sukkah, to mechanech a child to take a posel of an esrog, that would be terrible chinuch. So therefore, it's clear from the Gemara that chinuch has to be done, and has to be done properly.
The Ritva and says that luck, you know, is not obligation of the mother, but
the incorrect chinuch, like we were saying before, and maybe that's why Chazal would have gotten involved, because it was incorrect chinuch, maybe. But then the Ritva says, he acknowledges that not everybody agrees to him. Who trachti lichtav zeh? Why do they have to write this? That they should easy chachamim toyim bazeh, because they saw other chachamim who made this mistake. He says he acknowledges that some of his colleagues thought chinuch zeh for lubin esek. It doesn't really have to be kosher. As long as the kid gets a nice feel for the mitzvah, and he'll remember to sit in the sukkah when he gets older. When he gets older, he'll learn mishmur of the sukkah, figure out what's a kosher sukkah, what's a pasul sukkah. It doesn't matter when he's a child that it be an absolute kosher sukkah. So the Ritva says, in contrast, I'm telling you what I think the emes is. So notwithstanding the argument of the Rizvah, sounds very compelling with the Rizvah saying that we don't want to incorrectly mechanach our children, it doesn't appear to be accepted in Shulchan Aruch. The Pashup Shah in the Shulchan Aruch in the 6th day of is not this way. The background of the Shulchan Aruch is commenting on a Gemara that appears in Masechah Sukkah, where the Gemara is talking about the mitzvah of Dal Aminim. We know that there's a din when to fulfill the mitzvah of Dal Aminim on the first day at least, you have to own the Dal Aminim. Kachta Mechemia Merishan, it has to be Mechem, it has to belong to you. This is a din in the Torah on the first day. The Drabon applies for us in Chutzpah on the second day as well. After the first day, the first 2 days, then there's no din. Then even a lulav hashol, even a bar lulav would be acceptable. But the first day, for sure, it's a din in the Torah. So the Gemara says in Masechah Sukkah that you have a problem with Dal Aminim on the first day if you give it to your child. What's the problem? Say, I wake up in the morning and I'm waiting, I'm going to shake my lulav by Fahalal. My kid's jumping around, he's already 7 years old, he's already waiting, he can't wait, he's not going to make it to Shulta Halo, he wants to shake a lulav and esrog already. So comes the Gemara and says, if I give the lulav and esrog to the child, that's going to mess it up the mitzvah for me. Why? Because the child has the ability to acquire things. As a child, I have a cool ability to acquire things. That's what Tosfos writes. It's called Das Echeres Machnos. Since if a child picks up something on the street, it doesn't really belong to him in the Torah. The Metzias Cheres Shet Akot is not Yol Gezeil, like the Mishnah says. If a child finds something and then I steal it from him, I'm not a Gaz on Midrash. I'm only a Gaz on Midrabanan. Because the Katan doesn't have the Kerech to buy something, to acquire something. The Tosfos says that's if he's trying to pick it up on his own. But if I'm giving to him as a gift, if I buy something, I buy a toy for my kid and I give it to him as a gift, then he owns that toy in the Torah. That's called Das Echeres Machnos. So since I am providing the das, when I give it to him, then it actually belongs to him in that Torah. So here we have a problem. If I give the dal minim to the katan before I do it, so then he acquired it, he was koneh. And now when I want to get it back from him, the katan doesn't have the ability to be machna something. He cannot be machna something in return. He cannot give it back to me. So now it's stuck, it belongs to him. So I can't be here to the mitzvah dal minim. On the third day of Cholamoid, not a problem. Third day of Cholamoid, I don't have to own it anyway. I'll give it to this child. He'll own the dal aminim. And then I'll borrow it from him. That's perfectly okay. But on the first day, on the second day, that's going to be a serious problem. So therefore, in Chutzlars, we have to be aware of this also. Even after I shake lulav on the first day, a lot of people aren't aware of this halacha, that they'll shake lulav in Esrog, and then after they finish, they'll give it to their child, and now the child owns it, and now when it comes the second day, the Rishon right, you can't make a bracha, because the second day is the speak of the Yoma for us, and it has to belong to you. So a person should be careful that they really shouldn't give it to their child on the first day. We'll see. Oh, wait, oh, hold on. We're going to get that 8 to the 7. We're going to get to the 7. Hold on. So comes the Shulchan Aruch in paraphrasing that Gemara. The Shulchan Aruch in the 6th of the Mamre comes in Tofresh Dun Ches, Sif Vav says, Lo Yit Nena Bi Amisha Mekotan, Kadim She Yetzibo. Person should not give it to the Katan before he was Yotze. Well, like we said, even after you're Yotze, if you're in Chutzaretz, Vimesha Katan Koda, Ve'enu Machmi Lachem in HaTorah, Vedimtza Shemech Zirulo Ena Mokhsa. And therefore, when the Katan tries to give it back to you, halachically, he cannot do that. So it's basically a lulav hashol. There is one opinion that Rishon to maintain that if the child is old enough that what's called onus ha'peutos. Onus ha'peutos is a sugya in the fifth paragraph of Gittin that the child knows how to do business already. He knows how to go to the store. You give him a dollar, he knows how to go into the store, he knows how to take care of things, he knows how to have a little bit. So midrabanan, they made a takana that the child is gil onus ha'peutos, he has the ability to do mekach u'memkir, at least midrabanan. So some Rishonim say that if the child is old enough to do mechira midrabanan, that's also good enough for dal aminim. And other Rishonim say, no, that's not good enough, because then I only own the dal aminim midrabanan. Dal aminim is a mitzvah deraisa. I have to own it midrabanan. So that becomes a very lumdish shaila beyond the scope right now. In order to own dal aminim in a Torah, in order to fulfill a mitzvah in a Torah, must I own it in a Torah? Or is it good enough that I own it according to Chashim Mishpat? If it says in Shulchan Aruch that I'm the owner, even though it's only midrabanan, is that considered to be sufficient bialas to be yotze a mitzvah deraisa of dal aminim? That's already a very, very lumdish shaila. A lot of murmur comes in that, but not for now.
Maybe.
So again, so the 2 days in Shulchanov, 2 days in Rishonim, whether it's good enough if the child is a gila onus of Peutos. If he's below Peutos, he's 5 years old, he doesn't know how to handle a business, that's not going to be good. But if he's already 12 years old, he knows how to handle Haraya, he knows how to order food from on your credit card. He knows your credit card by heart. In my own experience. So, not that I do the ordering, some other people in my family do the ordering for us. So that's already gila Tzedus of Buddha, so not your bar mitzvah, they still know how to handle. So that taka, such a person can make a kinyan, with the rabbanim, can be masked for something bad. But that may not be good enough for dalamim. It's good enough for Chinese food, but it's not good enough for a dalaminim, according to many. So come to Shulchan Aruch and say, so what are you going to do? Nebuchadnezzar, I have a kid, my kid's crying, he wants a dalaminim. What am I going to do about it? So come to Shulchan Aruch, gives you an etza. Says the Shulchan Aruch, quotes from the Rishonim, quotes from a Ravan, Vim Tofesi Matinok, Kevin Shulyatsami of the Shaper Dami. Let's say, I don't give it to the child. What do you mean I don't give it to the child? I hold it together with the child. So if I'm holding on to it with the child, I never really gave it to the child. If I never really gave it to the child, then it's still mine. So if you go with that mahalach, I could do it. If the child is like that, he wants me to give it to Dominum. So I can give it to him and have it in mind and not mock with him. So basically I'm lending it. That's basically what it means. If I'm tefes miyadu, I'm not giving it to him. So basically what it means is that I'm lending it to him. So it comes to the Shavua and says, wait a second. If you're only lending it to him, if you're tefes miyadu, you never really gave it to him. So it comes to the Shavua in the seventh of the Mamakamos, and that was Kapches. Ratzaloma that day is the ain't a cut and cut a cloud. So a chay mutter filled mogilanasaputas. So who did him lo matter the klal the kofan? Well, let's say I just give it to him. I'm not matter to him. Oh, she omlo yeshu chaad she teitzib or bechach yeshu bekimet chila. Now, like you show, basically I use some kind of a lashon, which is I'm lending it to him. Ella the bechol elo eitzel says the mishavura. All of these suggestions lo mahani rach legodol she yoch lechach la teisbo. So all these eitzes will help the godol to be yelta afterwards. So, but what happened to the kid? So we're trying to make the kid happy. So we're trying to fulfill our din of chinuch by being mechanic the child. But you're not accomplishing anything because the child wasn't yotzei. That ain't a shalom for mikri lachem for kiver of a mitzvah chinuch. So what are you wasting your time for? The whole point of giving him the dalam minim is to enable you to fulfill your din of chinuch. But the kid's not going to be yotzei anyway because it's not his. So the yesh bechemerim shesoyvim. There are some achemerim who say the mitzvah chinuch is kaim gam b'shaul that you can fulfill the mitzvah chinuch even with a borrowed esrog. That gam b'zeh mitzchanech habeim the mitzvahs because this is doing such a trick. I mean, what's the point of chinuch? Chinuch is not to get every massive cut of the mishnah right. Chinuch is to give the kid a feel, a taste for the mitzvahs. When he turns by mitzvah, then he'll figure out how to do things right. The chin nashu b'mordechai b'shem ravan. And it would appear that this is correct. This is quoted from the Mordechai. The Rishonim already called this in the name of the Ravan. And this is the Pasha Pshat of the Shulchan Aruch. Otherwise, the Eitz of the Shulchan Aruch and Tovus to the people sounds like a very strange suggestion. What's the Shulchan Aruch giving you a suggestion to make your kid happy, but he's not Yoytir Mitzvah? So the answer is he is Yoytir Mitzvah. So it appears that this Ravan and this Mordechai and this Shulchan Aruch are all siding with those people, those Chachamim that the Ritva says were Tohim. The Ritva says all those Chachamim were Tohim. All the Rishonim said that, the standards of Mitzvah for a cotton, who cares about stands mitzvah for a cotton? As long as it looks good, it's nice, it's small, the kid's having a good time, that's good enough. So the Ritva made why did that sheik? He said, it's a toast, it's a mistake. It's not the push, it's a mistake. That's what the Mordechai says, that's what the Ravan is saying. So this is a real shayla. So the Baisa, this is a real, real shayla. What do we do? So if a person only has one set of dalavinim, so then you get run into a little bit of problem here. You know, again, if you live in Eretz Yisrael and it's only one day, so you already shook before the child shakes, then it's mishkefelach. But if you're in chutzpah already, so then you're going to have to do something. You're going to have to rely on one of these coolers. You're going to have to rely on the sheikh, the Ravan.
But it's shalom, come I mean, the
inspired talking
about that the
old structure of the inspired. So one could argue, perhaps, maybe even like psychologically, there's a little bit of a difference. If I give the child, it's a kosher lulav and esrog. It's just it's a quirk of halacha. The child doesn't even chat. The child doesn't even understand. It's lachem. It's not lachem. He's not going to remember even. The child doesn't. There's no discernible difference between the dalaminim or the shol and the not shol. Mashi ainkei the sukkah. The child's going to remember, when Esther sat in the sukkah that was 150 feet high, when Esther sat in the sukkah that had puffle chach. So that's already something that's a physical difference, a physical change. That maybe is a problem. Maybe that is an inappropriate chiddush. So it could be maybe there's no steer between the Rishonim. Maybe. It's usually assumed that there is a machlokes. It's usually assumed that according to this Ravan, so we wouldn't be so careful. So this is a big shayla. We have this all the time. Let's say we buy chiddush sets for our children of Balaminim. So the bottom line, they have to be kosher. You have to make sure that the chinuch sets are really at least their minimum kosher. You know, our standards of dalam minim are so, so high, way, way, way above and beyond anything anyone ever dreamt of 100 years ago. They say that the sets of davening that we wouldn't even accept as chinuch such for our kids. Our great great grandfathers would have died to have those davening. Nobody had davening in Europe. So they had one bekoshi, they had one set for the entire town. But lemaisa, when we do get chinuch sets, so should those chinuch sets really be kosher? So according to many rishonim, you have to be careful about that. So pashtus the machlokes in the Ritzvan, the Ravan, whether you have to really be careful that the chinuch sets are kosher, or at least that the other they should be kosher. Otherwise, you may not be doing proper chinuch. Maybe you're doing fakir. Maybe you're doing counterproductive chinuch by giving him fossil. So that's a shalos. So kopon this mice of Hilni Amalcha opens up for us a whole series of different shalos about chinuch. It touches upon whether women are obligated in chinuch, which really touches on the fundamental question: is chinuch a mitzvah sa'avah a bein or not? And then it also touches upon the type of chinuch that has to be done. Is the quality of chinuch have to be really perfect in the sense of that you really have to make a ma'aseh mitzvah, a cheftish or mitzvah to be correct up the halacha, or is as long as you give him a good feel, you can say to get into the spirit of things to have with the mitzvahs, that's also good. The details to figure out when he gets older. So both important dimensions of chinuch all revolve around the same story of Hilni Amalcha. I think we have one more week. Next week we're still on. People still around. Okay, yeah. Hopefully next week, and then after that already.
Next week, can't do it.